Jesus. I think y'all were showing off for Kathy. That was beautiful. I'm so excited about this morning. I feel like most of you know our speaker, but there might be maybe one or two that don't. So I'm going to give a brief introduction of my very, very good friend, Kathy Horner, who is here to share our word of encouragement. There's so many things I could say about Kathy, but Kathy was the co-planner with her husband, David, of this church. You planted it 37 and a half years ago or so, 38 years ago. And her husband served as our senior pastor here. And they've recently undergone a little transition to begin a new ministry, Equipped for Life, where she is working alongside David as they equip pastors and lay leaders all over the world. And she has the blessing of working with the pastor's wives and teaching and encouraging them. It just warms my heart to think about her being able to go all over the world and share a tidbit of what she shared in my own life. And she's very funny. Sometimes you spend a little time with her, and my favorite, I think, is when she tells stories about having to go to the principal's office with her boys. But it's hard to believe. I mean, I think, how could she get called into the principal's office? But it does remind me that she is too ordinary, although it sometimes doesn't feel that way. But she is an amazing person, very wise, I can't emphasize enough the role she has played in my own life and continues to play. And I'm so blessed that she would be willing to come home to the ministry here she started, Lambs, 34 years ago. So I think about how many lives have changed because of this ministry that the Lord placed on your heart. So I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for you. And welcome home.
Just to get over the distraction of me looking like a pirate, I have to take this earring off because it clicks on this mic, so I'm halfway there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, how good you are to have brought us this year to a study of your armor, of your spiritual armor. Lord, the word has pierced to our hearts and revealed things that you have wanted to uncover. It has given us encouragement, assurance, and boldness. What a great study this is, Lord, and it is because your word is true, and you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we are thankful for that, and we pray right now that, as you have promised, that your word will pierce our hearts, that we will be encouraged, that the words that you've given me might, from an ordinary woman, encourage other women to to trust you and to deepen their walk with you and to know you better. And we thank you indeed for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. And I am delighted to see you ladies. I've run across some of you every now and then at church or maybe in the grocery store, at Walmart. And it's been good to chat with you and catch up your lives. And I truly mean this. I have missed you more than you have missed me. Because when you sometimes step out into a new ministry venture, there's a bit of aloneness that you feel. So I do miss the time with you all that was so regular in my lives for so many years. But now that my husband has become the executive director of Equipped for Life Ministries, I have become his ministry aide and his specialized women's speaker and his gopher. And that means that I'm traveling so much more and I'm able to consistently attend Lambs. So, yet our wise and sovereign God knew what my future was going to bring and that I needed to be better armed for spiritual warfare just like you. And I attended a special Lifeway event last fall, so this was in September, with David, in which the wives received gift bags. And do you know what was in them? A copy of Priscilla Shire's The Armor of God, complete with the DVDs. So I have been able to keep up with what you are studying and to prepare my heart and my mind with actionable intel. So isn't God amazing? He works in ways that we cannot imagine or think. And it is so like the Lord to have me come with words of encouragement about that particular portion of our spiritual armor, which is the shoes of peace. Because since the big change in our lives, our retirement from ministry leadership at Providence and our transition into leadership with Equip for Life, my life has been a roller coaster of challenges and emotions. And I want to be transparent with you. My I have faced some surprising internal challenges too and struggles. And yet I believe I'm not alone. All of us who belong to Christ will find ourselves battling the enemy's attacks upon our thought life and upon our emotions. And especially when we step out to publicly proclaim the name of Christ. Satan is wily and devious, and he aims his arrows directly at our vulnerable areas. And I want to share with you four areas in which I've been vulnerable to his flaming arrows, for I believe each of you will be able to identify with a battle or two that I've had. But maybe in some small way you can also find a nugget from his truths that has strengthened me so that you too might be better armed. But first I'd like to make a few comments about that wonderful illustration that Priscilla provided that assures us that our spiritual armor's spiked shoes will firmly grip whatever rocky ground or wildly shifting sand we might encounter. I love her visuals, don't you? Those illustrations that just give me a real picture. Because I think I'm a combination visual and auditory learner. So I like the whole gamut of what she does. And then, of course, where Paul writes in Ephesians 6:14-15, stand firm then with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And I can stand firm in my armor because I'm fitted in shoes, and you can do this too. And they're shoes that bring peace of the gospel to my heart and a readiness to take on the flaming arrows when they come. So we've spent much of our homework examining how the gospel brings us sure-footed peace. Well, and first, and I like the division that she did, that first we have peace with God. In fact, I heard a sermon years and years ago when my husband was in seminary by this wonderful pastor, Evie Hill, and that's what his sermon was on. He was, what do I have if I have Jesus? And this one young woman asked him, and he said, first you have peace with God, and then you have the peace of God, and he gave these wonderful life illustrations, and this is what it was. And it says in Romans 5:1-2, this, which parses what we're talking about, the theology of it. It says, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace into which we stand. And that's so true, that peace and grace are like companions. They go with each other because once we understand the grace of God, we have a peace with him and what we have in Christ. And because we are women who put our faith in Christ and his atoning work on the cross, we know who we are. We are sinners who've been saved by grace, not by works. Our salvation is God's gift of love in response to our surrender to Christ as Lord. So salvation is nothing we've earned or deserved. And doesn't the devil whisper to you daily of how selfish your heart is? And do you really believe God loves you that much? But God's truth affirms that salvation is ours, but only because of Christ's sacrificial love. He cleanses us and forgives us, clothes us in his righteousness, and reconciles us to God. That's the grace of God. That's why we can know we stand in his grace and we are at peace with him, because it's undeserved favor because of what Christ did. And God's words tell me that I and you, who were once separated by our sin from God and in condemnation for our sin and deserving death, we're now at peace with God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what I keep telling myself that brings me peace in a time when there's great turmoil in my life. No hardship, no persecution, no diagnosis, no political craziness, not even my own foolish thoughts and emotions can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That's a source of great peace to me. And that, then what I tell myself, which is how she kind of ended this whole lesson, is when the turmoil comes and you begin to think, Lord, how would you have me react? Where are you in this situation? Is I tell myself, I am a child of the God who reigns. I have peace with him. I am the child of the God who reigns. I have an eternal home with that Jesus is preparing for me. This is truth from God's word. Ladies, we need to plant our feet in it, and it gives us peace. And the second aspect of peace that we have is the peace from God, because when we come to Christ, our heart is cleansed, and it's indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if you were here this weekend to hear Dr. Imad Shahada, but he spent some wonderful time talking about the Holy Spirit. And how he is the all the wonderful loving relationship that the Father and the Son have with each other. The Holy Spirit's in the middle of that. And so when he is in us, that loving relationship reminds us whose we are at all times. But also, he is the one who gives me the supernatural power to live a life worthy of the King who reigns. And he's the one who reminds us of the truth of God's word and the sure hope that we have in his promises. And Isaiah 26:3 is such an important verse. I learned it years and years ago, and it says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you." So the Holy Spirit's the one who directs our eyes to Jesus. And that's why often I cry out, "Oh, Holy Spirit, direct my eyes to Jesus so that I might have peace in the midst of this craziness." And he stabilizes us by the knowledge of who Christ is, of his faithfulness, of his love for us, his trustworthiness when our path becomes difficult and our minds and our hearts want to follow this roller coaster of unstable emotions. Let me share my past year's roller coaster with you. God's truth has always brought me peace, although not maybe right away. Sometimes it takes time. Takes hours, it might take days to go through some things. And so I've had to step up with what she called the go shoes. And I see what she was, when she talked about the go shoes, she was talking about them kind of being ready to do the battle. We talked about the readiness of the gospel of peace. And our go shoes are ready to do battle with some things that we need to surrender to Christ. And trials have brought on fears and deceptive emotional thinking that have robbed me of peace at times. And Satan has attacked my vulnerable areas, as I said. My fleshly weaknesses. First one was facing an unknown future. When David retired, we knew God had called him to start a new nonprofit ministry that we named EFL, but he was also working on his PhD, and there were many details that had to be attended to, so we could not step right into this, because with a 501c3, you have to do all these regulations with the government. And now, I'm a person who likes predictability, but things were not predictable. When would this start? Where? How would we do this? Where would the money come? All these kinds of things. So now many things were racing through my head while we're finding this unknown. Would this ministry fly? There were so many government regulations and red tape that needed to be fulfilled. Would David's experience, wisdom, and giftedness be fully utilized? Would people come and say, "We need you to consult with us. We need you to do a conference with us. We need you to coach us"? Would we have any clients? Would we have a regular income in this unknown future? But God's word gave me stability. And that, I love this verse. It's Micah 7:8. It says this: "Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light." Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. And the Lord has given David and me light for one step at a time. But our path is God directed. And God, this is another thing you can write down for sure. God knows things we don't know. So he's working behind the scenes, and we have been surprised by how faithfully he's brought clients and things to us, although we've got room for more, always. And I can rest in his sovereign wisdom and plan and be at peace. Second thing that we've had to face about ourselves was health issues. And as many of you might or might not know, in February of 2016, my father, who had lived with us for 7 years, fell into congestive heart failure. And he was in and out of the hospital, returning home to my care, only to fall and be returned by ambulance back to the hospital and then into rehab for a month. And so I became facing health issues and nursing care for which I was totally inadequate. And I felt that way. Well, months later, once we settled my dad into a good assisted living situation, which was where he is now, where he's constant nursing care and doctors that come through constantly and check on him, my own health fell apart. And this often happens to caretakers because you're not paying attention to yourself when you're so in the crisis mode for the person you're taking care of. And after days of constant pain and no solution, the doctor put me through several tests only to have inconclusive results. So again, I became increasingly aware that I am not in control of much in my life, you know? I learned that first when I had children. You know, when you have children and they go to school and they tell the teachers everything that happens at your house. You're like, whoa, I'm not in control of anything. But then when you get older and your body starts to fall apart and there's nothing you can do about it, then you realize I'm not in control of much here either, am I, Lord? And I must admit that I became anxious about not getting better. But Satan filled my mind with exaggerated scenarios. You know how your mind goes to the worst possible thing it could possibly be? It was not that, ladies, don't worry. But there was so much that needed to be done, I kept saying to the Lord, and I didn't have the physical strength to do it. You know, what do I do? And finally, this was a long process for me to work through with the Lord. Finally, and I know my husband thought, what is wrong with you? But finally, God's word pierced my clouded emotions with its wisdom. And it was with Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So I began to thank God in the middle of my dark place for his love and his care throughout my life. And I thanked him for the grace in which I stand because of Christ's sacrifice. I thanked him for the blessing of an intimate relationship with him. And I thanked him for the Holy Spirit who guides and comforts me and strengthens me. And I thanked him for the blessings of family and friends and a warm home on this earth and an assured future home in heaven no matter what my health did. Like water bubbling up from an inner well, his peace flowed through into my heart. It just came up from the well of the Holy Spirit in me, and it bubbled up, and it pushed out all those paralyzing anxieties and fears, and it made the darkness go away. The third thing I faced was insecurities about my abilities, and this is an ongoing vulnerability of mine. I never come to speak before a crowd without being nervous. And maybe I still hear the echoes of criticisms when I was young. I don't know. Maybe I fear the opinion of others too much. Maybe I have a sober estimation of myself and it's right. I should be nervous. I don't know. Insecurity is always there. And as 2016 progressed, opportunities for me to speak arose. I mean, long speaking engagements, not just go speak once. You're speaking to the same group of people five times, maybe. So you have five preparations, and I worked diligently, and I always want to give out only what the Lord wants me to say to that particular group of women. However, when you go overseas to speak, you often don't know what the makeup of your audience will be, because those that you are sponsoring live over there, and you have these little brief emails, and there's the English language difficulty too, so they don't give you a whole lot of information that you can really grab onto about what you're going to be doing when you get there. And so while we prepared to speak in Cape Town area in South Africa, the description of my audience in the emails kept changing. First, I was to give three messages to the missionaries and the pastor's wives who were there. And then, no, it will be five messages to the teenagers who helped keep the daycares. And no, when we arrived in Cape Town, it turned out to be neither group of women. And this kept me uneasy. You know, I'm like, okay, if it's one this group, I know I'm going to have to dwell more on these issues. And do you know what I'm saying? So I was like, woo. And I wanted my message to be suited to the spiritual and level and needs of those who would hear it. So I went with way too much material, but I decided to edit it as I spoke. And so I could say, well, I'm, you know, this page, don't need to use that. But I also confessed my weakness to the Lord about the whole issue, and I just clung to him, to 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. So when I get there alone, and God showed himself strong, but it turned out I needed all the material that I brought because I ended up heading up seven sessions of a retreat for 30. And I love to say this. They're one of the main tribes in South Africa, and they're the Xhosa tribe. They click when they talk. And so if you say their name correctly, it's Xhosa. How about that? So I went and ended up doing a retreat Friday night and all day Saturday, seven sessions to these women who were the leaders of women and children in these small churches that have been planted in the Khayelitsha Township, which is a slum numbering close to 1 million inhabitants outside of Cape Town. And God had impressed upon my heart a message that focused on the joy we find in receiving Christ, in walking with Christ, in casting aside the sins that entangle us and serving him with perseverance to the end. So at the conclusion, which I had not expected, because these were church leaders, three who were very young women came forward to receive Christ, which, you know, it was such a blessing, because we all had a wonderful fellowship. We all had, I mean, they were dancing and doing, and I didn't do any of it because I don't know how to dance and sing like they, and it was all in their language. But it was just a beautiful fellowship, and it was, you just knew the Holy Spirit was there. And then God did that sweet thing of having the three who probably were young girls that had been recruited to work with children, and they all thought that they had a relationship with the Lord, and yet they didn't. But God worked. So it was just wonderful. Jesus is so gloriously sufficient. Another thing, the final thing, is facing loss. Because the day after I completed that retreat in Khayelitsha, David began teaching at the Bible training conference for Center for Pastors right outside of Cape Town to a group of wonderful Ethiopian pastors. And this is just a factoid you might not know. There are 750,000 Ethiopians who've immigrated to South Africa because the economy is the better there and it's safer there. So these pastors had come, and there were about 50 of them, and over the course of 10 years, they had planted 70 churches among these 750,000 people. So pray for them. These are wonderful, dear men. So the second morning, while we were transferring our materials into the cars that would transport us, because we were staying in one place and the group was staying here, and the missionaries that were helping us get there had cars, and we were shifting, you know, and we were moving all this. While that happened, David's backpack was unattended, and it was stolen. And in it were his notes for what he was going to say that very morning, in the next few days, his laptop, his iPad, and his camera. And he was so calm about it. He just said, give me your Bible. Give me 30 minutes to sit and try to remember what I was going to say. And he just went on. But I must confess that my stomach was in knots. Because when somebody steals something from you, I always feel like I've been punched in the stomach. And Satan attacked me with fears about the identity theft, the very real awareness of the thousands of dollars of equipment that was lost. And I wondered how in the world we would replace it. And I had to sit in the back of the auditorium of the classroom where the men were teaching and do battle with my thoughts and fears and pray. And I needed the Holy Spirit to intercede for me with groanings deeper than words, because I didn't know how I ought to pray. And my prayer was simply, help, Lord, send me a life rope. I don't know why, but I'm sinking from this blow. And as Dr. Shahada said this weekend, praise God that the Holy Spirit takes the fleshliness out of our praying and adds his intercession so that my mind and heart could be attuned to God's perspective. That was just such a wonderful picture. He prays over our prayers. And he said it's like a sieve. He sieves out the junk and prays them in a holy way to the Lord, so that our mind begins attuned to God's. It took a full hour, but the peace that passes comprehension came into my heart, and then I was good to go. But later, I was reading from the Psalms, and the Word of God pierced my inner being, cutting through what are often our self-deceptions and stabilizing us in the truth. And in Psalm 27, David wrote this psalm, and he starts it this way with praise. He says, verse 1, the Lord is my light, my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Then David begins to name all the enemies and what they're trying to do to him. And then in verse 7, he calls out to God as I had called out that day in South Africa. And he said, hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. And my heart says, if you seek his face, your face, Lord, I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn away your servant in anger. You have been my helper. And then he goes on to say, teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in straight paths because of my oppressors. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness in the land of the Lord, in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord. And Tim Keller observed this about this passage, because that was kind of the process that my mind had to go through to get out of that deep funk of, and then to that place where it was just things. We don't know how we're going to replace them, but they were just things. Tim Keller observed this about the passage. He said, David is having difficulties, but the beauty of God enables him to live in confident peace. If our hearts delight in God and his face, then we can contemplate losing earthly joys without fear. Why? Because David, in the psalm, I didn't even read that part. He says, even if my mother and father forsake me, I will have you, Lord. We can face these things without fear. Why? If our greatest treasure, communion with the very living God who reigns, is safe, of what can we be afraid? Of what can we be afraid? Yet we are afraid of so many things. So our fears can serve an important purpose. They show us where we have really located our heart's treasures. Follow the pathway of your fear back into your heart to discover the things that you love more than God. Because if my communion with the living God is safe, what else should I be afraid? So once my heart, mind and heart had uncovered the idols that were supplanting God, I could repent and confess and move forward in peace. Because I was at peace with God and he'd give me his peace. I could take heart and I could wait for the Lord. And I did see his goodness in the midst of the loss. Someone who was there on the team was a electronic geek, you know? And he quickly showed us how we could erase the iPad remotely on the cloud so that our private information that David had on there was gone. I didn't know you could do that. David didn't know you could do that. But there was this man that knew to do that. And God showed himself to be our refuge in so many other ways, even to the point so far that we have changed all our passwords once we came back, but we've had no privacy repercussions from all of that. Praise the Lord. Keep praying that we don't. Ladies, let's implant the word of God in our hearts so that we know the stability of his truth and stand firmly in shoes of peace at difficult times. But let's also make our shoes go shoes, ready to squelch the lies of the enemy. Not like we talked about, and I know I say this all the time, but not listening to our emotions, but talking and preaching to ourselves about who God is. These go shoes make us also messengers of the gospel, ready to testify to Christ as our source of peace. You see, peace is not the absence of conflict. That's the way the world defines it. Peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is the underlying sense of calm, assurance, and thanksgiving, even in the midst of chaos and hardship, that your times are in the hands of the God who reigns, and the knowledge that this world is not your home. This makes you distinctively different, a light for Christ in a dark and despairing and confusing world that we face. Let's pray for God to give us that peace and for us to open our hearts to what might be impeding it in our own struggles. Let's pray. Lord, you are sovereign, and I will trust in you because of the blood of your Son has cleansed me and put me on a sure footing before you, so I can confidently go before you, before your throne, and bring my petitions to you. And not only that, I can have that intimate communion that fills me up to overflowing. And even that, Lord, at times when it seems that your face is turned away, I can know that I will see your goodness in the land of the living, but I will wait for you. Lord, thank you for the peace that your word brings us. Thank you for the Psalms that come like diary entries that speak of the heart cries of people just like us. And that also always lead us to the fact that their sure rock is Christ. To you we lift these things, knowing that your Holy Spirit in us will remind us of these things as we surrender all of our minds and crazy emotions to his truth. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.